What's up, everybody? This is the Sharp Tongue Podcast, and I'm your girl, Jessie May. I feel like I've said that differently for the past 2 weeks. Well, life is different now. Shit is different. It hits different. 2021's coming in with the fury. This is going to be a dope episode. It's a little bit of a throwback with my work husband, but before we get to that, I want to give a shout out to my sponsors, the one, the only coffee alternative that I put in my pie hole, Mudwater. You guys got to check it out, MUDWTR.com/Jessie May. If you don't know how to spell my name, what are you doing? Why are you wasting your time? It's a dope alternative to coffee. I drink it every morning. I have to be honest. I'm a little bit of a jittery bitch as it is naturally, and coffee shakes me to my core. So I found Mudwater, and we were like, let's do some fun stuff together. So we're doing that. We're going to be bringing you some content, but in the meantime, we're going to give you 15% off your entire purchase at mudwater.com, MUDWTR.com/Jessie May, using promo code Jessie May Mud. Check it out and get some mud in your pie hole like me. And also, please subscribe to the YouTube page. Your girl's on YouTube. She's considering OnlyFans, but not to show a titty. Maybe a little bit of titty. We're not sure. We're still under negotiation. But for now, you can check out the videos from the podcast at youtube.com/JessieMayPeluso. Subscribe, like, share with your friends. Tell your friends who are questioning their relationship or going through loss or just want to laugh with their best friend. That's me, bitch. I'm your new best friend and your old best friend. I'm the best friend you knew from when you grew up. And the one that tells you to stop hanging out with that snaggly tooth loser who you let sleep on your couch. I keep it real with the feels. You guys know. But this episode, I'm so excited. I reunited with one of my podcast brothers, my work husband. It was one of the first times I actually sat down in person with somebody this year. So it was really exciting to reconnect with him. And I hope you guys enjoy this episode with the one, the only, Mike Tully.
Sharp Tongue Podcast.
Beep, 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 beep.
You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie May Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary,
a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's gonna get dirty.
You might cry. You'll probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh. The whole point is for you to laugh, but you also might cry.
I talk about my family. I talk about farts. I talk about love, loss, comedy, how hard it is to make it in this biz. I'm a fucking professional.
Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get.
It's raw, uncut, and funny.
It's me.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me. I'm your girl, Jessie May. This is the Sharp Tongue Podcast. There, my intro's done.
Okay. Boy, it's been a long time since I wasn't in my son's room doing this. Let me see how would this go. Coming to you live on tape as we mark the 1 year anniversary of quarantine from a stylishly appointed Airbnb located somewhere west of the 405 in Los Angeles, boasting an ample supply of complimentary paper towels.
Not enough.
No.
There's only one roll left.
An inadequate supply of paper towels. This is The Tully Show. I am your host, Mike Tully, joining me today. My first live in-person guest since I had a studio and an office and a job. Hello and welcome back. The People's Champ, Jessie May Peluso.
Oh, I usually have a couple more monikers for me.
Oh.
The one that was my favorite.
My sister from another mister?
Yeah, like stuff like that. My favorite one was that you call me like the chuckle queen or like the fucking...
I did?
Like the giggle queen. I forget what it was. It was like princess of punchlines.
Oh, yes.
It's like your dad's hosting a backyard comedy show.
Yep.
My dog Chaplin is obsessed with you. Come here, Chaplin. We are in an Airbnb.
We are.
This is our reunion show. I decided to call it Tully May.
Yeah, we're live.
We are. We are absolutely making this happen. Wow. We both have our slippers on. We don't fuck around.
No. I take my comfort seriously.
Yeah, absolutely. We were talking about your sleep deprivation lately.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just, I'm so tired of hearing myself talk about it, so I can only imagine how people who listen to me talking to a microphone feel about it.
Well, let's talk about how you're sober now.
Sure. Well, I feel like when you say that, enjoy.
It feels kind of lonely on this side, though, I have to say. I was like, you know, Tully will have a beer, and then I honestly thought...
I hate day drinking.
Really?
Yeah.
What? You have a child. That's day drinking was made for people like you.
That it baffles me every time I see somebody with a child day drinking. It really does, because I can understand.
Does a dog count? My dog?
No.
Okay. I'm not in this.
No. Okay. Oh my God. Tom Segura was working on a great bit about this last time I saw him at the Comedy Store, where he was saying that I think he had his dog before he had his children, and how much he loves his dog, and his dog means the world to him, and his dog's his best friend. But if his dog ever like snapped at his children, how he goes through this whole thing about how he would physically destroy his dog. And nobody's ever put it better. I know how much your animal means to you. It's not any comparison. And the level
of animal felt like a little bit of a jab.
It was intended to. And the level of responsibility, like, what you have to walk a dog. What else do you have to do?
Don't you walk your kids? I mean, where do your kids?
Not nearly enough. You should see them.
Oh man, do you have fat Asian kids now? Do you have Fasians?
Well, the one is so little, that is as God intended her to be.
She's so perfect.
At the age of two. Do you know what? Probably as we speak, like parents.com or @parents or something is retweeting. So they reached out to me because it was a true story. I don't have the energy to make up material about my children. I asked her if she wanted a can of soup, and she was like, hell yeah, I want that soup.
Is that what she said?
Pretty much. And so I was like, cool, let's eat it. And she's like, no, we're taking it to the park. So she said she wanted to take care of the soup. So we brought a can of soup to our playground. And she's like walking up to kids and showing them the soup as if she has like the Lost Ark from Indiana Jones. And they're just like, it's a fucking can of soup. And she's like, okay, this guy doesn't get it. I'm going to go to the next child because they're going to understand how fucking amazing this can of soup. I have pictures of her going down the slide holding a can of soup. She loves that.
Are you guys okay? Are you able to pay your bills? Like, why is soup popping off in the Tully household?
Oh, it was just there. Oh, because I actually bought it for her as a surprise because she's transitioning from Minnie Mouse into princesses.
Oh, and my daughter goes all of her innocence.
My daughter's pretty woke, so she likes the Princess and the Frog. She responded to the Black Princess, and so I found the Princess and the Frog. I don't know what her name is. I found that princess.
That's
soup.
Not really woke of you.
What?
You should know the Black Princess's name.
I don't
name.
Know. I will make it my business to not know any of the princesses' names. And I surprised her with. She said she was hungry, so I surprised. I really love surprising my kids. It's like a huge pleasure of mine to go, look at this. I got you the princess soup. I knew you'd be excited, and she was excited. I just didn't expect her to be let's take it to the park excited. I thought it would be let's open it and eat it.
Yeah,
excited.
I have a joke. Are you okay?
I'm trying to find the picture.
Oh yeah, yeah. Where's your phone? I have a joke about soup being the most non-portable food ever.
Yeah, you got to meet my daughter.
Soup is the worst thing to bring anywhere other than your mouth hole.
Yeah. Soup is wildly overrated. And I say this as somebody who's married to an Asian person because they consider soup food.
Right. Well, their soups are food. Mm. Our soups are poor people food.
Right.
SpaghettiOs, there's not SpaghettiOs one lick of a nutrient in that fucker.
I hate
fucker.
To break it to you. SpaghettiOs are not soup.
Well, oh, wait, they're not soup. No. I may have done a little edible before. SpaghettiOs aren't soup. You know what? We're gonna let the people decide.
Oh, please!
We are gonna.
Oh my goodness! Can we put some money on this?
Are SpaghettiOs soup? I'm gonna say they're soup.
Maybe your people eat as many edibles as you do. In the absence of broth,
SpaghettiOs are soup. What do you call it?
Fucking spaghetti, dude. It's
that's
canned,
not spaghetti,
it's
bro.
It's canned pasta. It's not spaghetti, but
that's not even pasta.
It's O's. It's O shaped spaghetti.
Yeah, it's
hence the name.
There's not an ounce. There's not a lick of a gorum or sigorum, whatever Sigourney Weaver. What do you call that wheat sorghum? There's not a. What I'm saying is, there's not a lick of anything that is in pasta in SpaghettiOs. There's no like enriched wheat flour.
Okay.
Even.
Is a box of macaroni and cheese soup?
No, it's delicious.
Yeah, it's shitty food. It's shitty, delicious food.
Okay, here's a question.
Is Chef Boyardee soup?
Yes.
Or canned peas soup? Is anything in a can?
Okay. So I'm thinking Campbell, right?
Yeah.
Campbell's cream of mushroom soup.
Soup. I feel like there's a clue in the title.
Yeah.
That tells you what that one is.
Yeah. There's definitely, that's a soup, okay?
Yeah.
But it's a bullshit soup.
What makes it a bullshit
There's
soup?
There's like slices of mushroom in it. Campbell's soup.
It's fucking mushroom soup.
They got to step up their game.
Are they
though.
Supposed to not have mushrooms in mushroom soup? Or no. Do you require...
I'm saying...
whole bushels of shiitakes. Like, I don't understand.
Can you say shiitake one more time?
Shiitake?
See, you can do that and not get in trouble. Listen.
Yeah.
There's slivers of mushrooms in the cream of mushroom soup. It's like somebody... This is how little mushrooms are in Campbell's cream of mushroom soup.
Yeah.
It's like somebody else had a real cream of mushroom soup with chunks of like actual mushrooms and sneezed. And then that is the cream of mushroom soup. It's shreds of shiitake. It's not even a whole mushroom in there.
No, it's just tiny little mushroom niblets. They definitely skimp on the mushrooms.
They skimp. It looks like the shit you find when you file your toes. It's like a little, it's like toe fungus. Is that a ghost? Our door just opened to the Airbnb. You know what? Speaking of ghosts,
it's weird. The ghost always seems to come around on breezy days.
My dad's right
what
here.
What is that? I noticed that.
With his little drink chip, his little change of pace. Shout out to Syracuse, New York. Change of pace. My dad's watering hole.
So a drink chip is when the bartender buys you a drink?
Yeah, or you could be sitting at the bar and buy like a somebody. Friend a drink.
Is that a thing out here? Do they do that at all?
I don't think they do. This is like, that's like such a...
I know.
East Coast. It's regional thing.
I was going to say blue collar alcoholism.
Yes.
But just...
regional.
Blue collar, East Coast drinking culture. Because I was sort of raised in a bar. Have I mentioned that to you?
I was born in one.
Is that so?
Or at least conceived.
Those are two different things.
Well, one has to happen
yeah.
in order for the other.
You know that you were conceived in a bar?
I'm joking. Mm-hmm. But I know my mom put out first night she met my dad. And they're both dead, so I can say that now.
Oh, right. How did she reveal that to you?
I asked her on the podcast. I said, did you go home with dad that night? And she kind of giggled. I think she admitted it on the podcast. And I called her a slut.
Well, yeah. This was like the 1970s?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a border. Well, that's like borderline prostitute.
Maybe if... Yeah, I wonder when they met. I don't know. I'll have to check... the year that they met, because my sister's...
How old is your oldest?
Yeah. 4 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I am 20.
You're 28?
Thank you.
Jenny Slate in the house.
I am 38.
Are you?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I look good.
You look... Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. Thank you for saving me the trouble of saying
that. So, my sister's 42.
Uh-huh.
That's how math works. So, when did... So, and my parents had her... I want to say...
Yeah, they met in the mid-70s.
Yeah. So, and my mom... But that was the 70s. Everyone was fucking... And you know what? It's the 2020s, too. Isn't everyone fucking? Why do we have to act or at least live like these puritanical lives? We have to be prudish? We're animals. So what if you want to go home with a guy you meet and suck his dick on the first night?
I thought that was pretty common nowadays. Now, I've been off of the dating circuit.
Apparently since the 70s.
But it stopped.
The dick sucking?
The
in your relationship?
The first date stuff.
Oh.
AIDS. Yeah. No, I have a theory.
Have you guys missed us?
I have a theory.
Okay.
Because
I love how you waited for my cackle laugh to stop to talk. You're so professional.
I'm not gonna step on the cackle.
You're a great pod partner.
So I used to rent. Okay, my parents got rid of cable when I was a kid because they caught me and my sister watching Porky's, and I think my sister was like 5 and I was like 3.
Was Porky's like that, like really obscene 1980s movie? I don't know why I just
it was like
funny-ersed it.
An Animal House kind of, like. Yes. I put it this way: I'm pretty sure the cover, the poster, or the VHS box would have been a boy's eye looking through a hole in the wall with like a naked half
a vagina
butt, and I don't know that they had a naked vagina on the poster for Porky's. Maybe in France. And like, you know, the towel, so it's like the guy's looking in the girl's locker room kind of thing. So I was deprived of cable for all of my formative years. So I
wow,
it's weird, right? There's so many
That's
movies
why
that
you
every,
are the way you are.
There's a lot of
there's
reasons.
There's so
why.
Many things I references yeah. I've made that you're like, I don't know what that is, but you know the square root of pi. You're definitely you've got like it's not autism. You were just you were sheltered from society.
Right. Yeah. I was home reading Laura Ingalls Wilder books and working with my protractor while you were
learning.
Watching. Right. While you were watching Porky's. So I used to go to VHS.
You had a projector at your house? That's a nerd level. That is another. It's on another level.
So I used to go to the store and I would rent every single movie that I thought would have tits in it. Like I used to jerk off to tit movies.
Oh, that's good.
And then AIDS happened. And all of a sudden, every single one of those movies that was like, Summer Beach Nipples, all of a sudden became Basic Instinct knockoffs.
Why?
Because people still wanted to see naked chicks. In, that's like the cheapest special effect that's ever been invented is like Shannon Tweed taking her shirt off, right?
Right.
But it, overnight, people didn't like couldn't wrap their head around a bunch of freewheeling teens running around looking at girls and getting laid without negative consequences. So they still made tit movies, but all of a sudden everybody was dying in them. Because
that's right.
That was the subconscious effect of AIDS on the culture. Nirvana happened to music. All of a sudden it wasn't Poison, nothing but a good time. It was Nirvana, and those guys weren't trying to get laid. They were like walking, talking, dirty cardigan sweaters. And tit movies became people get ice picks in the nose. They fuck first, but then they die.
Oh, I see. Just to deal with the way society was feeling off the
yeah, exactly.
The and wake it was, of the AIDS.
And it was like in the 2000s that all of a sudden straight people came to the conclusion collectively that they didn't have to worry about HIV so much. And then sex culture came back and people,
well,
like your parents could go back to making babies the first night they met.
Right. They don't have to worry about the AIDS creeping in. If you're poor, you do. But if you're rich, you don't.
Yeah.
Rich people AIDS. It's like the South Park episode. Magic Johnson AIDS.
Right. Oh, like health insurance AIDS?
Well,
see, I don't know. I have Obamacare.
A step more than health insurance. I think it's health insurance and then like a couple million.
See, I don't know because I get my information about HIV largely from Jason Ellis, to be honest with you. And he's always telling me that like, oh, you guys are still worried about AIDS. You guys don't even know. You just take PrEP and you're fine.
Oh, yeah. I guess you can live with AIDS now and you
well,
can
okay,
like, thrive.
There's the one thing that you can take
also,
to...
I don't know if you should take health advice from Jason Ellis.
No, I think he knows what he's talking about.
That stuff.
So there's the one thing you can take.
I love you.
I think to not get it, and then there's the other thing you can take to manage it if you get it. But like, I honestly don't know. I just went from employer provided health insurance. Like, I assume if I was HIV positive when I worked at SiriusXM, I could get the stuff the Magic Johnson stuff. But like,
yeah, but I'd
have to read the back of my current health insurance
yes.
card. But I don't.
You gotta see if you have Magic Johnson AIDS.
I
coverage.
Don't think I have Magic Johnson HIV coverage anymore. A lot of things have changed since last I saw you.
Did you ever see World War Z?
No.
Oh,
the zombie
fucking
movie.
Hell. Well, I thought how ridiculous it was. It's a zombie movie with my boyfriend Brad Pitt.
Right.
You know Brad's my boyfriend.
Oh, you've moved on.
Yeah, Stamos and I. We kind of had a falling out.
Did he age out of your...
He didn't age out. He
it was the
HIV'd
yogurt?
Out. No. He HIV'd.
There's just only so much tzatziki one girl can take.
I just saw Brad Pitt in something and I was like, damn.
Current Brad Pitt, or are you in love with the man he used to be or the man he currently is now?
You know, there's been a large debate on social media over this, who the best Brad Pitt is.
Is and current Brad Pitt in the running?
He's in the running for
oh, that's
sure.
Cool.
But he also looks like a middle-aged woman who teaches college art.
Uh-oh.
But I can. She knows how to go down to Pound Town with her mouth.
You went to John Bon Jovi's guy?
Yes. He's got John Bon Jovi face.
Oh, man. Which is better than the face John Bon Jovi should have right now.
I know. I feel like John Bon Jovi looks like a woman's face after she's been embalmed.
Yeah.
And I mean that with all my heart and
John
love.
Bon Jovi looks like if Barbara Streisand got all the work people always thought she should get, she would have ended up looking like 2021 John Bon Jovi.
Yes, yes. It looks like an affected Babs.
Right, right,
for
right.
Sure.
Like a less lion-ish.
Yes, but with after being embalmed. As well.
Yeah.
A morgue, post-morgue, like when the morgue does your makeup. Also, why are morgues doing the makeup of dead people? Do you also have a makeup artist license? I feel like makeup artists should come in and do the makeup of dead people, not Larry, who's also embalming Aunt Linda.
I feel like if you ask me, like if
hold for helicopter. Oh, that's actually a dual propeller.
Oh, that's a fancy?
That's a private plane.
In my neck of the woods, if we had done this at my house, that would have been somebody triangulating the perp.
Yeah, yeah.
Out here, it's like...
No,
it's Patrick Dempsey.
That's Cher. She's going for lunch in Catalina.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, what was I saying?
We were talking about something very titillating.
I'm going to edit this out. Cause
oh, Babs. You were talking about Babs.
Oh, okay. I got it.
Yeah.
If I just like plopped down on planet Earth and joined the human race, but I had no experience whatsoever of any of our rituals for living or dying, and you had asked me to figure out what we should do with people after they pass, mm-hmm. the very last ideas that I would ever, ever, ever come up with or suggest is...
Do their makeup.
Stuff them and paint them. And let everybody come see them. And put them in a fancy box and stick them in the ground. Those are like the two worst answers. Like, I don't know what to go. I can suggest some good ones, but like some that are better than others. But that is the single worst set of solutions. And yet you're like avant-garde and artsy if you don't do those two things. It is so odd.
Can I please use that in stand-up? Please give that to me.
Take it.
Because I have this
whole thing. You earned it. You earned it.
I have both my parents being dead and like just the strange tradition surrounding the view. Doing. Like, first of all, why does my dad have a full brow? Like, most men have full brows, but I'm talking like face beat. Why does my dad have contour? He was cremated. This is all just like, you know, I'm just speaking about what he would look like if he had been.
What do you mean full brow?
Well, it's a makeup term. Like, women these days.
Yeah, they like them bushy.
Well, your wife, you see her as she really is, and I'm just speaking in general. But most women mm-hmm. add on to their brows.
Oh no, my wife got like the tattoo thing. Oh,
okay, yeah. I got so that.
Do
too.
Do I have Michael, a full brow? Do I have a full brow woman?
You have a full brow girl. Yeah, she's a professional. Huh. but like, I just don't understand why we're painting a face on a dead person. It really is. It's such a good point. It's such a strange tradition.
And they make them look like, you know, when black and white movies, when they colorize them, and you can see how ludicrous the makeup had to be because of the necessities of 1920s cameras and black and white film.
It looks like every dead person looks like a character from a remastered Wizard of Oz movie.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, grandma looks like Buster Keaton, and you're supposed to go, doesn't she looks like she's sleeping?
Why is my dad in pink pastel lipstick right now?
I know. It's very, very, very lipsticky.
But the other thing that's really strange surrounding death rituals, I love how we went from AIDS and death rituals, is people standing in line. This is the one thing I didn't understand with my dad's funeral that I could not stand, is standing in line to receive everyone. Like,
oh, as the family, you're supposed to greet them and accept their condolences, and then they go down to the and they kneel. Right.
It's
Are you Catholic?
I don't know what I am.
Gotcha.
You know,
say no more.
We were raised Protestant.
Yeah.
But Jesus left when my mom and dad got divorced. So God left as well. Mm. We were abandoned in multiple ways. But I just, people coming up in line in that forced interaction.
Yeah. What do you say?
What do you say? There's nothing anyone can say. And honestly, listening.
I labored over a text to you. Like,
yeah.
I care. That's it.
Right. That's the best thing people can do is just let people know you're there.
I care and I'm thinking of you. And
yeah.
It goes without saying if you could use a quiche.
However I could be there for you
is
great.
Yeah.
There's only so many I'm sorry's you can listen to in one day.
I know.
And having...
It's another burden on the family.
Exactly.
And they've got enough. Right.
It's another fucking burden. And then to have like these old people come in and be like, oh... Your dad was the best man at my wedding. It's like, oh, fucking great. I don't want to listen to this right now. It's just all the rituals are just so invasive.
Yeah.
They're invasive to the healing process.
Yeah. We do not come from an emotionally intelligent, like, culture. And I think you and I, you're from New York. I'm from New Jersey. But still,
we're smart.
We both know what drink chips are.
Yeah.
We come from drink chip culture.
We come from drink chip culture. Yeah.
And there's much more focus on the quality of the deli meat and the side dishes that are at the repast.
Yes.
Than the matter at hand, which is we're all processing one of the central emotional experiences and most profound mysteries of human existence.
Yeah.
And you're asking me to worry about Kaiser rolls.
Right. You're asking me to worry. Why do we... Oh, wait. So we went from AIDS, death, Brad Pitt. This right. is what I wanted to tell you about Brad Pitt. Please. I asked if you've seen World War Z.
Not yet.
Haven't seen World War Z. It's been around for a hot minute. They're filming another one.
I hear nothing but good things.
It's great. That's it what actually I hear. Is really great.
That's what I keep hearing.
The one thing that's annoying is like the CGI, but that's okay. We got over it with I Am Legend. The zombies are CGI, whatever. Brad Pitt, in order... He discovers at the Center for Disease Control that the cure to the zombie disease is to infect yourself with something to make yourself sick, because the zombies won't eat or want to eat somebody who's not well or healthy.
Well, that makes sense.
Right. If you got botulism, they're not going to bite you.
They don't want tainted meat, right?
Right. And
Are we going back to SpaghettiOs?
Yeah, we're getting full circle. I want to get you back. Because I said botulism. Yeah. I think about that every time I see a rusted can.
Isn't that crazy?
I'm just like, oh, I don't want to get botulism.
They better make that one half price. And I'm not going to buy it. Somebody else can take their life into their own hands. It's safe.
No can of anything is worth botulism.
No.
I don't even know what it is, and
the
I don't want
it. The silent killer. Before there was AIDS, there was botulism.
There was influenza, Spanish flu. Before Spanish flu, there was botulism.
Oh, man. We looked down on those people at the shop right that bought the botulism cans.
There are motherfuckers out there buying them in bulk.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Because they're so cheap.
It's worth 40 cents? Is your life worth 40 cents off that can of split peas?
Listen, when you're struggling and you're starving, you don't give a fuck. You don't got time to do that math.
Are you like me, where if I drop a can of something and it does put a little dent,
I throw it out.
Oh, really?
Oh, I'm gone. It's gone.
I just make a note that I need to use it within like 15 minutes.
Oh, no, I'm like that can is botulism now. It's filled with botulism. That is no longer sliced peaches.
Have you ever met one person who has ever met one person who has had botulism? What if they did, do we know it was even bad?
I gotta Google it now. Do you even know? Do you want to take...
What percentage of people, particularly if they're a little bit younger than us, I'm going to be 44, you're 23. What percentage of people who are younger than us even know botulism?
Do you want to take a guess at what some symptoms are?
Full brows. Pinkish purple lips, kissable bee stung, and a bit of rouge.
Okay. The first symptoms.
Uh-oh. The onset.
The first symptoms include most housewives across America. Difficulty swallowing. Or
sing.
Thank you. Or speaking.
When was the last time you were on stage?
We don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Facial weakness.
Oh, botulism. It's Botox.
Oh, duh.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Duh.
Yeah, it's exactly what it
Did
is.
Did you lose your phone in the chair?
I've been looking.
Find it.
I was looking.
Up.
I was looking for
is it
before.
In your pocket?
And then no, that's my wallet. And then before, I just now I felt I got a text.
Okay, well, get up and see if you can find it. Maybe it's there we go.
Now you get to see the picture of my daughter with soup.
Lucky you. With botulism.
Oh, we
I'll
did
see
not
the
eat
picture
that
of
can.
Your daughter with a facial paralysis.
Her
that's
forehead
right.
is lineless. Yeah, it's exactly what it is.
Oh my god, it's Botox. Yep. Guys, we are totally retarded.
Don't you love it when you listen to a show and you're like 15 minutes ahead of the host?
Yeah. Sorry. You guys, if anyone's offended by the word retarded, I don't have anything against mental
illness. We're touching
illness.
Stingrays.
Mentally challenged. What was that photo? Don't start swiping on your phone right now. Please do not do that. You're going to show me the picture of her in the soup? Oh my god. Did that go viral?
So that's what I started to say. Parents or parents.com or something hit me up. It's like a real thing. They have a ton of followers and they asked me if they could post it. I don't know if they have yet. But yeah, I think my daughter's going to be internet famous.
I mean, she's all over the place.
Look she's carrying the fucking can
cutest.
Of soup everywhere.
She really is. She's the kind of little girl.
Here's her introducing herself to people so that she can show them the soup.
Guys, look, this is what happens when you have kids. look at her face, how excited she is. Oh, I moved it. Oh, God, swipe.
I come bearing soup.
Don't swipe it. Don't let it move.
Why is she being saved as people in my phone only by her mouth?
That's listen, you're going to have to ask Chris D'Elia.
So what's the deal there? How do those how do those people who have been shunned, how do they make their way back in the graces, or do they always forever live in the shadow land of? They can still tour and their fans can come see them, but the larger comedy community can never actually welcome them back again.
I wonder
what
I,
happens to Louis, what happens to Chris, what happens to Callan.
Well, now Chris might be facing an enormous lawsuit from one of the girls. It's such a difficult scenario. I don't think anyone wins.
We know how to put people in Twitter jail. We don't really know what the process is for getting out. And I'm not trying to defend people or anything like that, but the only sentence the internet knows is a life sentence, and not everything. Maybe Chris D'Elia is, maybe Brian Callen is, maybe Louis is, I don't know, but not every single person who does something wrong deserves a life sentence.
And, no.
And I don't think any of them do, but we don't know how we're supposed to.
Yeah, there's no rule book.
Uncancel people.
Yeah, it's uncanceling's very, very difficult. You know,
I think they should get three very woke judges and give them a reality show, and they can decide who's.
Yeah, one has to be a lesbian.
All canceled celebrities who can compete on Canceled Island, and every season one person becomes woke enough that they can be redeemed and they can be uncanceled.
Yeah, so they have to have challenges, and each challenge brings them further away from their cancel.
That's right, except that all of the judges would be canceled for participating in that show.
Yes, they would, because
that would be the risk.
Have to cancel them.
That would be the risk you would take for accepting that gig.
They pay really well, but after that you get canceled.
Right,
and it's a lesbian, a transgender congresswoman, and probably a Cher or a Gaga that are like LGBTQ friendly. We need to have somebody, you know.
Is there anybody who can't be, who's about, like, could Dolly Parton be the sole arbiter of this?
Yes, she'd have to be.
She can be the Jesus Christ of cancel culture. She can be the only redeemer.
She's like, well, y'all, listen, you keep them coming, keep them going, but you just, she always has these, like.
I look in this out and I see good.
Is that Dolly Parton?
Yes.
That's a terrible impression. We're both horrible at impressions.
I disagree.
Mine sounded like some drunk man from Georgia, and you just sounded like your daughter.
No way. I do it. Everybody knows I do a terrific Dolly Parton.
Was that Dolly Parton?
Hell yeah. It still is.
It was. She's amazing. I listened to her on a podcast when I was driving, and she doesn't take herself too seriously.
No.
You know, and I think she knew what she had and figured out how to make it, how to exploit it. She exploited herself and turned it into a huge business.
You're talking about boobs.
Yeah, her tits.
She's more than tits.
No, she's an extremely accomplished songwriter.
Yeah.
I mean, she's written hits for everyone out there.
She's written many hits.
Many, many hits.
Yep.
And
we watched 9 to 5 all the time when I was a kid.
9 to 5 is such a good movie.
Yeah.
That's a great throwback film. And also, it was happening then, and it's still happening now with women in the workplace, but no one's working, so it's just women in the home workplace.
Yeah, right.
I mean, if you're getting harassed at home on the job, you really got to quit.
Yeah, right.
If you're working from home and Zooming and still getting harassed by your boss, it's you.
Zoom sexual harassment's really got to stop.
I got to write that too. I'm going to write those two things down.
Zoom sexual harassment.
Yeah, yeah. Better. I actually thought about
you. Better get on that. You better do that one quick. Because you know what? The greatest email I've gotten in a year, and I've gotten it 2 or 3 times, is Zoom going, hey, buddy, you enjoying Zoom? Well, why don't we just, why do you keep paying every month? This is complicated for all of us. Just sign up for the next year and we'll give you 15% off. And I'm like, okay, this is a deep cut for people who've seen Starship Troopers. Have you seen Starship Troopers?
I love Starship Troopers.
Okay. When Neil Patrick Harris is like the Nazi guy with the dead eyes who can telepathically communicate, and they catch a brain bug, and it's the very end of the movie, and he puts his hand on it and he goes, it's scared, and that's when you know that the war is turning and the humans might have a chance against the bugs. When I got that, I was like, Zoom is scared, because this is before people were getting vaccines, and I
was
like,
right.
Zoom knows.
Zoom
wants one more year out of me, because they know I'm gone in 4 months. It's the most exciting thing I've gotten.
Do you really think it's going to go back to normal?
Yes.
You do?
Yep. I'm so much more bullish on that than almost everybody I talk to. We've just gotten so conditioned to our new way of life. Yeah, largely, yes. Why do you think I might be wrong?
Because it's been so long, and this is such an unprecedented time, and it's so new to forecast or see beyond what the new normal has become is hard for me. Not hard, like I don't believe it, just hard for me to envision.
What? would, what did we used to consider normal that you have a hard time imagining returning to normal? Here's what I think.
Going out and people not being scared and like actually being able to tour and being able to mm-hmm. walk out in the public without having to put a mask on my face. Like all those things.
It's not going to take as long as you think.
Really?
This is just my opinion, but okay. So when this was still really going on, I had a friend who, long story short, alcohol makes it easy. I haven't had a drink in a while and I didn't go to bars even when you could.
Pussy!
I'll be back. You have a couple beers and you just forget that it was ever weird. And then by the end of the night, it's not weird anymore. And then the next time you go out, it's not weird because last time wasn't weird.
That's true.
I really believe that. What I think is...
I agree with that.
On our current trajectory, people are still going to get sick, but it's going to be at such a modest rate that nobody is going to be able to hold themselves back anymore. It's just going to be... every time you've ever gone to a bar and gone drinking, there have been thousands of people in the hospital for 100 different ailments.
Yeah.
Now, every time you go and do stand-up, there's going to be 1,000 people in the hospital for 101 ailments.
That's true.
This will not be the thing that...
Like an accumulative issue.
This will just be another thing that some unfortunate people get sick because of.
I think you're right.
Unless it keeps evolving and the vaccine becomes irrelevant. That's a whole different
The variants.
Yeah.
But then again, we're repeating words that media and media outlets mm-hmm. are putting into our ears and in front of our eyes.
The question that I always ask when it comes to the variants is, does the scientific community comfortable that the boosters can keep up with the variants? And so far, I believe they believe that they can. And now it's easy. This cue, everybody going, oh, wait, so I got 2 shots and now I got to go get 3 and I got to get 4. Why don't I get 11? Why don't I get 57? You know what? I will take 57 booster shots if the scientific community says, yeah, this is how we stay on top of the variants and eventually beat this thing.
But isn't it the same with flu strains? Like there's right. so many... There's thousands of flu strains.
Right. That's the problematic thing is if we have a second flu that's more deadly and every year we get a new shot and some of us get it and some of us don't and it doesn't work and the majority of us who do get it, it offers only partial protection. That's a problem. But that might be the new normal. That might actually be the thing where you actually really know one or two people over the course of your life who are like fine. And instead of that friend you know who got the flu one time, it's that person you know who got coronavirus and died. But those one or two people won't be enough to hold back society.
Well, I didn't realize about California is that California is more socially vulnerable to something like this because of the density, because of the overpopulation, the homelessness, and the climate. That's the one thing I didn't realize about the climate, because of the dry weather here, that type of disease can survive longer. As opposed to someplace on the East Coast where the air is more moist, it drops. The air is heavier.
Oh, I see.
So the disease will drop to the ground more likely in a place like New York as opposed to here where it's just floating around living its life just like all the fucking motherfuckers here. It's just getting lattes and going out shopping.
Anecdotally, I always was more concerned about, say, flu season or cold season living in New York because of the congestion. A long time ago, I developed a habit, and I still do it out here, and I'm not a germaphobe in the slightest, or maybe I am.
Sunning through your butthole?
Don't knock until you tried it. Worst case scenario, of a very tan butt areola. But
I already do.
No, just pulling up my sleeve on my shirt to like open a door walking into a shop or something.
Or using something to open the door.
I would rather be in Los Angeles when it comes to getting sick and coronavirus pre or post than anywhere that has effective mass transit.
I agree. That
hear, hear to the ridiculously, ludicrously bad mass transit system of Los Angeles.
Oh, God, I don't want to be on it at all.
Ongoing failure of the Los Angeles subway system.
And we have to worry about Dennis Hopper driving your bus and not shutting it down until Keanu Reeves comes and saves you. And that's not something I'm willing to risk.
Finally saw that movie.
What movie am I talking about?
Speed.
When did you see Speed?
Of course I would have known the answer to that if I hadn't seen it. I saw Speed like 6 weeks ago.
Oh God, the opposite of Speed. It's like the slowest. The movie came out in 93, I think.
Yeah.
I had a poster on my bedroom wall for years. Keanu Reeves was another one. He likes older women though. Too young for him.
That chick's not his romantic partner. People read way too much into that.
What?
That lady on the red carpet? She's just a friend.
How do you know?
How do you know? I pick things up.
What, from photos?
How do you know?
Because they said.
Who said? Did he say?
Yeah.
I don't think he said.
He told me.
I don't think you know.
He told me in a dream. How do you know you weren't in the dream?
I don't think. I think you hear a lot of things in your dreams.
I do.
That I don't put a lot of stock in personally.
I do. My dreams are definitely freaky. I don't like the dreams you have where, last night I had one where it's where you are. So kind of like sleep paralysis.
Oh, so it like picks up where your life left off when you went to bed?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Right.
And you can't move. Have you ever had that? Where you wait, where your dream is where you are, but you're like asleep, awake?
Yeah, that's not like sleep paralysis. That to me, that is...
It is sleep paralysis, right?
Do you get... You don't get like the crone, do you?
What is the crone?
The crone?
What is that?
Have you seen the crone?
What the fuck is that? Like Crohn's disease?
No.
Oh.
Worse.
Oh.
There's like this archetypal figure.
The man.
Well, there's the man and then there's the woman.
I've gotten the man.
Okay, now I don't know what the man's name is. The crone is the old lady.
Oh, God, don't invite her into my sleep paralysis.
You don't want nothing to do with the crone from what I hear. I'm not hearing good things about the crone.
What?
Yeah.
Where did you hear about the crone?
C-R-O-N-E.
The crone and sleep paralysis. Yep. Is this some Asian folklore? Did your wife teach you about this?
Why are you so
C-R-O-
racist?
C-R-O. Why?
Nothing. You had a whole year to spend home improving yourself.
Well, wait.
Becoming modern and woke.
Why was I racist?
No, I already said the crone is something that it seems to exist deep in the... It's like, you know, like all cultures have this idea of like the boogeyman. The people who have sleep paralysis see the crone across the world. Oh. Not all of them, but it's like, it's not
specific. I've heard about this.
It's not specific
to
any particular culture.
I have heard about this.
Yeah.
I have heard about it, but only because, do you know what Wikipedia calls her?
What?
The night hag.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, that's just me going to the bathroom.
I think I dated her.
That's just me going to floss my teeth at midnight. It's a phenomenon during which a person feels a presence of a supernatural malevolent. How do you say that word?
Malevolent.
Malevolent is a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Angelina Jolie could help us. It's the presence of a supernatural malevolent being which immobilizes a person as if sitting on their chest or the foot of their bed. Oh, wow. The word nightmare was used to describe the night hag.
Oh, really?
Yeah. various cultures have various names for this. And basically, night hag is the witch, the sleep witch.
Right. But then there's the guy. You've had the guy.
Yeah, of course. He just comes and shows me the head of his penis. So he just shows me the penis head.
Oh, really?
And he goes, new friend. And then he tucks it back
you
under.
You like? Better like this?
I don't know what he
better
sounds.
Better like this or better like this?
Hey, my name is Boris. Do you want to see a new friend?
That reminds me. My high school girlfriend had an older sister. So she was like a young adult. And she was in a relationship with a guy. She later married him. I'm pretty sure they're divorced now. And he was a much older guy. I don't want to give identifying characteristics. Just picture like a stereotypical Greek or Italian, Northern New Jersey entrepreneur.
That's like all my exes.
And she used to...
So an Uber driver?
No. He's
okay.
Successful. No,
okay.
And she would hear them having sex through the wall. And then she'd hear him going, I got more for you.
Oh, God!
Isn't that horrible? I got more for you.
Ew! I got ball for you?
No, I got more for you.
Oh, I got the more for you.
Yeah, when round two was, I got more for you.
Ew!
Isn't that horrible?
It's horrible.
I'd rather have the night hag.
I guess I would too.
Yeah.
Because she's somewhat...
She didn't do anything.
Fake. Well...
Well, at the time, it...
We don't know. You know, I used to have this nightmare when I was living in Boston, and it was a sleep paralysis nightmare. I had it multiple times. I'd fall asleep on the couch and this man would stand over me and just stare at me.
Yeah, the guy is the other one. I don't know if the guy has a name.
Yeah, why does she have a name? The day fuck?
And why?
The day fuck and the night hack.
And I don't know why the guy's not an old guy.
Nah, he was a big dude.
It's an old lady or it's a guy. I've never had either, thank goodness.
Very broad-shouldered man.
I think my wife has.
Oh, well, that's... That's when you go to work.
Oh boy,
that's not something she's imagining. He's coming over.
Oh my goodness, I can't believe she's having sex with strange men while I'm also in bed.
Yeah, she is.
It's very disrespectful.
Well, that's
sort of impractical too.
You haven't been drinking alcohol, but she's slipping some Mickeys into your night tea. Are you having a night tea?
No.
Do you want me to talk so you can take a sip of your dad coffee? get in there. You know what I really miss? I really miss your
my lunch pack.
Your lunch pack.
I almost brought it. I almost needed to bring it. I wouldn't have brought it just to show off. I don't just flex that thing to impress people.
I thought of you when I was packing up my apartment because I have a thermos that my mom bought for me, and I thought about your dad lunch satchel.
Yeah, no, I have a new one. I'll send you a picture. I decided I could make do with only two beverages for one-hour podcast. If I had brought a spare seltzer, then I would have brought the lunch bag.
I love three beverages. Wake up in the morning, I have a water, my mud water, and then I also have either a seltzer or some other various beverage, like a matcha or something.
Yeah, man.
During the day, it's wine, sparkling, water.
Oh,
and
right.
Then
so drinking during the day.
Tequila.
People who have children and so drink rude. During the day, it is such a short-term...
fun.
It's, yeah, the price you pay so far exceeds the pleasure you get. You need to have such an astounding lack of foresight because, first of all, I do not enjoy the experience of parenting with a buzz. I can see how some people would be into that, but to me, drinking is always a signal to me that, like, my work is done.
Yes.
And if my kids are awake, my work is never done.
That's a good point.
I hate, this is the most alcoholic thing about me, I hate the feeling of sobering up. Like, it baffles me when people will, like, have drinks and then go, oh, I've had enough drinks, I'm just gonna stop now and I'll just switch to orange juice and I'll do that for the rest of the night. Like, I bring a nightcap with me to bed. I'm not necessarily blacking out, I'm not necessarily like drinking myself to sleep in the regard that I'm drinking until I pass out from drinking, but I drink until I sleep up. I sober up when I sleep. Does something different happen in my body than everybody else's? I hate the feeling of being awake and sobering up.
No, well, yeah, because
it's a terrible feeling.
It is a really terrible feeling.
Okay, so why does everybody else do it?
I don't know.
Are you just gonna keep drinking all day? It's cool if you are, but...
I mean, I might have another or two.
Yeah.
Is this a fucking intervention?
No. No, 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 no. I'm just trying to understand why other people enjoy something that...
I'm not getting, like...
Will you take a nap?
I'm not getting, like, I'm writing my next novel...
No, I get that.
...blasted.
Right.
You know, I'm not, like, Stephen Kinging it up in my attic.
Will you take a nap?
Yeah, that sounds great. Like, you want to take one with me now?
No, I'm not inviting you to nap.
That crosses the lines of our friendship.
Because that's the only time that I would drink during the day is if I knew that I was going to nap afterwards.
Oh, that's really good idea.
On vacation, I will, if we're like at a resort or something, I'll drink with breakfast because I know that once we're done at the pool, I'll go home, whether the kids sleep or not, they can watch TV and I can knock out for a little while, then I can wake up and start drinking again. I don't drink during the day if I don't know that I can sleep.
I'm here for that. And that would explain a lot of the people who are asleep on the sidewalks in larger cities.
Siesta.
It's a little drunk siesta. It's alcohol siesta.
It is.
Or a methy one.
Isn't it infuriating that there's so many things that we could all agree that we should do, but we will never collectively put our heads together and do? We were talking before we started rolling here about the Dr. Carl Hart and his book about not legalizing all drugs, but just
doing drugs,
just rationalizing drug culture and just being like, we all do it. Even if you don't do it, all your friends do, you know, it's not that big of a deal. But the reason why I bring this up is siesta. We're all aware that as we speak, there are like civilized nations in the world where everybody takes a nap every day.
Greece, Spain,
guys,
Italy.
Every day is a fresh opportunity for us as a nation to say, we want naps too. And
yeah,
if we all agree to do it, it'll be fine.
It'll be not only fine, first of all, the effects on your brain, the physiological beneficial effects on your brain from a 20-minute nap are through the roof, especially for people like yourself who is working, has children, a wife, a whole life adjacent to your work life that requires a lot of energy and presence.
I work hard for the money.
You work hard for the money and the honey. You know, it's like you need naps. Naps are something, hopefully through this whole quarantine that has sort of shifted the way we've existed, every single person on this planet, save for those nations and countries that have already implemented a siesta into their societal standard. I feel like maybe through this quarantine, hopefully, we'll start to realize the benefits of breaking and taking naps.
Nothing will change. Absolutely.
You don't think so?
Nothing will change. We will look back on this era and go, remember when, fill in the blank, because the only thing that will change is a lot of people won't go back to the office.
That's a big change.
That's a huge change.
Like, that has a trickle-down effect on every huge society from a climate standpoint. Less people on the road. I mean,
that's true.
Remember the air quality of LA the first week?
It was amazing, right?
It was the LA it could be.
Yeah, I know.
That's the
imagine what it's been like in Hawaii this entire time. I was talking to a Hawaiian yesterday.
Without all of us there.
They're hurting, obviously, because they're lacking the tourism dollars. They can't afford to not have us there. But like Hawaiians, for the first time since the first Dutch boat showed up in like the 1500s or something, have their fucking islands back.
Yeah, without the white man coming in trying to steal all their sugar.
This is not an interesting or fun podcast topic, but commercial real estate is, I would hate to be in commercial real estate right now.
Oh, yeah. Because
there's just not going to be the same use for it. Nope. And what are we going to do? So I'd read a
WeWork?
I'd read a while back that
work from home.
That's part of it.
Sorry, WeWork.
That if we all stopped driving cars and we're all just taking Tesla self-driving Ubers everywhere, then we won't need nearly as much parking as we do, because it'll just be cars kind of always driving around and you just get them on whenever you need one. Imagine a world in which we need less than one half of all of the parking that is currently allocated.
Grow.
And we need one half of the commercial real estate that we currently have, and half of the retail shops go out of business because everybody's buying things online. What becomes of, if all of those things go away, what pops up instead?
Weed.
We're just growing
weed, growing crops.
Oh, right.
Growing food.
Urban farming, y'all.
I'm telling you.
Detroit is the city of the future.
It seriously is.
Like, I hope you're right. I doubt you are, but
I'm probably wrong.
Things never turn the cool way.
They don't turn the cool way, or the way that would actually start to evolve some of the other processes that are working against us.
Even when shit goes right, it goes wrong. Like, I don't know what's going to go wrong with weed that's going to make legal weed shitty and corporate and
less fun.
Well,
it's already gone. It's already, you know, there's already issues with it.
There you go.
So, there's a price and compromise to every evolutionary shift, whether it be in the cannabis industry or in how we work every single day.
Right, but
there's a huge price to pay.
Well, sure, there's pluses and minuses to everything, but when you're saying there's a compromise, I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, what you're saying
is
well, of course, some filthy people are going to get their filthy little hands in there. That's the way it was always going to be. It's not just like, oh, we all have the munchies all the time because that's the price you pay for weed being legal. It's like you're just saying, well, of course, the whole, it sounded easy enough. There's this shit. It grows out of the ground. It's completely non-addictive. Nobody has ever OD'd from it. It's totally safer than alcohol. People seem to like it. Let's just legalize the shit. Like, there is no inherent bad thing that comes from the thing that I just said, but you're saying, I've spent very little time in dispensaries, you're saying it's already getting shitty. That wasn't inevitable. That's because we let greasy, shitty people get their greasy, shitty little palms and stuff. And unfortunately, that is inevitable in a sense that it was always going to happen, but that's not like, that wasn't an inevitable, it's not like fucking the sun goes down every day is inevitable.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think like there's always going to be something like, it's almost like too good to be true.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, let's legalize weed. It's that line from Jurassic Park. Have you seen Jurassic Park?
Only because my kid watched it.
Oh, thank God. It's a great movie. But Jeff Goldblum has this line. He says, you were so busy thinking about if you could, you didn't stop to think if you should. And that I apply to a lot of shit in life. And I'm not saying we shouldn't legalize drugs. I'm just saying that, you know, there is both positive and negative effects to any sort of change like that. But I guess like from talking more about what's the guy's name who wrote the book, the guy, the meth.
Oh, Carl Hart, Dr. Carl Hart.
I love his name is Hart.
Yeah.
I haven't even read his book. I saw a little bit of his interview with Rogan and I'll have to listen to him on your podcast.
Oh yeah.
But I honestly, I'm intrigued by the idea of legalizing everything just from like the standpoint of how people's brains work when things are accessible, and the idea that, you know, having something be scarce is sexy.
Right. That once you remove the taboo,
the desire also, I feel, dissipates a little bit. You know, it's like
maybe
with kids.
I still think alcohol is a little taboo.
Yeah. I mean, like being an alcoholic is taboo?
Well, no, I still think that it's a badass thing. Like if a guy's or a girl's in a movie and they walk into a room and
flip open a bottle of whiskey and take a swig of it, we understand the signifier is that that person's a little bit of a badass. That person's a little bit of, you know, they're not breaking the law, but that's a badass thing to do. Plus, drugs are always going to be illegal, as they should be, to children. So you still are going to go through your formative years going, man, it'll be great when I could get my hands on that. And that, again, that's why I think alcohol still seems like a badass thing to do, because there was a point in time when you wanted it and you couldn't get it. Even legalizing them, that's not going to go away. But I do get your point. I mean, you can look at Portugal. It's like we don't have to speculate about this or hypothesize. There's civilized nations that have just like done this.
Right. Amsterdam.
Right.
Portugal's completely, everything's whatever you want to do.
Decriminalized. I don't know the specifics, but like pretty much they will, there's legal repercussions for distribution, not for possession or consumption. It's illegal to be a dealer, but not illegal to be a user.
That, it's just, I almost kind of wish I could see how it all turns out, like a few generations down the road.
Yeah.
With that, you know, like what the legalization does, and also what happens to our society, like to the American society. Like, do we crumble? Do we end up becoming not the, you know, strong nation that we have been for historically how many years now?
Right. Well, I think that's almost like this is again a really boring point, but like that's like a demographic thing. You can kind of look at the world and you can see who has a bunch of up and coming, like a young population. If you have more young people than old people, you're probably growing. And like Britain declined
because they're all old and crusty.
Well, they just had their time and everything was like working out for them. And then it was like the baton sort of got passed to America. And now the baton is getting passed to China. And I think it's tempting to not think it through and to go, oh, well, what happens if America isn't the dominant nation? And to think that somehow makes us like all of a sudden fall to like, we fall off the face of the earth, everything crumbles. It's like, no, you become like England. You go from being...
I don't want to be like England.
No, but you
I'm
go
scared.
From being...
No offense to you guys, but you guys aren't having a good week.
I get it.
But Pierce Morgan and the royal family are really fucking up your flow.
But you go from being like the most powerful nation on earth to being like the eighth most powerful nation on earth. You're still like a player.
Like, this is a thing about the parliament in England. And I just think about all the banks that are set up across the world. Like, aren't all of those linked back to... Great Britain? Aren't they all linked to the United Kingdom? Every
the
place?
Banks?
Yes.
Citibank? I bank with Citibank.
I'm talking about like
what relation
of
do they
banks
have to, oh, I don't know.
In the relation to the United Kingdom. Have you ever looked into this?
I have absolutely.
You got some rabbit holes to go down. This is what I was looking at in quarantine.
Okay.
The origin of the banks and how where there are wars fought, mm-hmm. banks being set up and then getting everybody in this money system.
Oh, okay.
It's a rabbit hole. It's one of the quarantine rabbit holes I'm sure you guys who are listening have heard about, and I will probably get tons of DMs now because every time I mention it, people are like, oh, you got to check out this article.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I look forward to those DMs. Like, I'm a big proponent, at least in theory, of states' rights in America, because I think that if we've learned anything in the last few years, it's that there's no one-size-fits-all shit that
Hell.
Everybody can get on board with.
No.
So I believe it is supposed to be the United States of America.
I agree.
And we all kind of put our heads together on this shit. Like, it does not make sense for every state to have their own military, for example. There are things that we need to have one foreign policy, but like...
I don't know if Florida has heard that yet.
Touche. But what is right and from a magic mushroom point of view for Louisiana might not be what's right for Oregon. And maybe that's okay. So let the Oregons of the world, if they want to lead the charge... And like, okay, a more practical example was with kids going back to school.
Yeah.
I did not know. I don't think anybody on earth knew if it was a good idea for kids to go back to school. And almost, and I'm talking about back in the fall. And like everybody's opinion was kind of based on their prejudice. There were some people who got the message early on that coronavirus is something we need to be very concerned about. We need to be totally safe. And then no matter what evidence was presented to the contrary, they never really budged from that. But then there was the other camp of people that were like, fuck this thing. It's just the flu. It'll go away on its own. Put the sunlight under your skin. You'll be fine. And then no matter what evidence you gave them, they never budged off
of that. Wash it out with Lysol.
I'm not really impressed with either side because neither side really evolved with the science. But like when... some states wanted to send their kids to school. I'm like, honestly, it's your prerogative. It's your kids. If you want to be the guinea pig, like
somebody's got to
go right ahead.
Somebody's got to see.
Hey, if you're right,
you got 1 month of your life back that I am still suffering at home with my kid, my little kid not in daycare, my son not in school. So I'm responsible for, you know, childcare and work at the same time. And then they did, and it seems like it worked out okay. And now here we are 7 months later in California, and they're still arguing over whether or not we can send kids back. But like, if we're not sure, well, should we loosen drug regulation? Should we legalize this? Like, it doesn't have to be a nationwide conversation. It doesn't have to be a nationwide decision. If Oregon wants to go nuts, go Oregon. But hey, if Oregon doesn't fucking burn to the ground, the rest of us should learn from that example.
We have to evolve.
Yeah.
In Oregon, I think it's illegal. When I was performing there, I was looking at the laws. I like to look at the laws of each state I go in just to get it, because the laws really tell you a lot about the society.
Oh, right.
And one of the laws is it's illegal to leave your baby in a carrier on top of the car. So if you're seen putting your baby like in the, you know, the car, like the seat, how they sometimes unhook from the inside of the car and you can carry them.
Yeah.
So if you, if that is placed on top of the car, like, you can get a ticket.
While you're getting your other shit?
Yep.
I think that's a fair rule.
Well, how many times did some shit go down where they had to put that into legislation?
I think it just takes once.
It's like, who's leaving children on top of the car? But then I spent 3 months with my sister, this past 3 months since my mom passed.
Yeah.
With her two kids.
How old?
3 and 4. Okay. 3 and 5 now.
Gotcha.
I can see how you'd forget one.
Oh, God, yeah. Anything's
possible.
Because
there's so much. You have two.
Yeah.
There's so much going on. And they both need you all the time, all day long, for different things. It's literally like bits and pieces of you are being pulled and manipulated and tugged and directed around the house. So I can see how you could forget one of them on top of a car, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I definitely have started doing the thing that all parents do that you're like, I would never ever do that, of where when your kid's is doing something wrong and you try to correct them and you can't find the name. Like, you boy, girl, boy, whichever one you are, stop doing that thing. It really breaks you down, man.
What's the worst thing you've done as a parent? Like something you did where you felt really bad?
Oh, that's really easy. It happened somewhat recently. It was during lockdown. It was on Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, boy. This is why you stopped drinking.
No.
We're finding out why he stopped drinking, you guys. Daddy had too much brown liquor.
No, I drank quite a bit that day. I felt so bad. I needed to bury my pain and my shame.
I think I texted you. I think I remember that.
My kid, there's this hill that he rode his scooter down at the, like a top of a mountain kind of thing in Culver City, and my kid is like extremely cautious, so he did it, but he like went down with his foot on the brake the whole way, and he was just like, oh, look at me, I'm a fucking badass. And then he did it again, and I mean, he's like the most timid kid out of all of his friends, so I'm like, if he did it, they'll all do it, they'll all be fine. And he's like, I want to bring my friend here, I want to show him, I want to go down the hill together on scooters. And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And I just forgot that A, all of the kids are bolder when they're together, and all my friends' kids are bolder than he is. So I was there with his friend and the friend's dad that I'm like friends with. And I was like, oh yeah, they're going to do the hill, they're going to love this thing. And I'm just like talking to the dad, we're bullshitting, and the two boys just get way ahead of us. And there's this little lip, and I see them, they look like they're like Olympic skiers. My son, when he was at the top, he was like Rodney Dangerfield in Back to School. Like, he's like, well, when the two of them went there, I just saw them go up, and they just never even second thought, just boom, just bombed the hill. And then I saw strangers like run after them to see if they were okay. And by the time I got there, they were both like bloody and crying. And it was so... My kid probably has some permanent scars from it. And you feel so much, you feel bad about doing things to your kid, but you feel worse about doing things to somebody else's kid. And the reality is that they both took a really, really bad spill, and it could have been so much worse. Because they could have gone face first. They could have been skidding on their faces down this fucking hill.
Oh my God. Am I terrible that I'm laughing at the...
No,
that?
Tragedy plus time equals comedy. You obviously know the outcome.
Nerd.
You know the outcome.
I know the outcome, but it's also just the image of them.
It was horrible.
Flying up in the air.
We've dropped my daughter a couple times too. We never dropped the first
one.
No. See if they'll bounce. I was actually really, really proud of having never dropped my son, and that streak did not last.
Well,
with my daughter,
he dropped himself, so I think you kind of inadvertently dropped him because of your negligence.
That was
on that hill.
A bad dad.
Did the dad of the other kid understand, or was he blaming you?
See, I have a guilty.
He's calling in right now.
I have a guilty conscience. He said it was fine. The worst part, the worst part is that I was the one who told the other kid's mom, because there wasn't any parking there, so the moms actually dropped the dads and the sons off, and then we were supposed to walk back down to them, and instead I had to call the mom because I had service and the other dad didn't, to say they fell, it's going to be okay, but they are bleeding, can you drive up here and get them? And then I had to text the mom later, is he okay?
Where did the other kid get cut?
They both just got, like, you know, arm, side.
That's boy shit.
No, I know it is.
They fall out of trees. They climb up on ladders.
Yes.
They rock climb.
I agree. And anybody who's been sitting here thinking that, I do.
And girl shit, guys. And we're not applying and assigning gender roles. I did all that shit as a kid. But I'm just saying, in this particular instance, they were two boys.
It is true. We all have a couple of those things from our youth. And this will be one of my kids and the other kids, too. And it was just so, it's all my fault. There's no way of slicing it. It's 100% my fault.
Sure.
Yeah, you probably
should feel some guilt over it.
I do.
Did you ever forget them anywhere?
If I forgot my kids.
Like leave them in a store?
No. No, I've never left them anywhere that I wasn't leaving them on purpose. Okay.
I remember one time I was with my dad at this TV store. I think it was called DeSantis TV. I could be wrong. It's in Syracuse, New York. Really, really old TV store. We were buying a huge square TV. Remember how big they were back in the day? They were like boxes.
And deep and
heavy, and the glass was like 3 inches thick. And my dad was at the counter paying for the TV. And I specifically remember this. I was like probably four. I bent down on the carpet and I saw this little pebble. And I wanted to keep it. So I put it in my ear.
That's where you keep them.
And then I had an earache a couple days later.
Sure.
And I had to go in and get it removed, but my mom kept it. I still have this little pebble.
Oh, really?
That I stuck in my ear.
I know a kid who needed surgery. They needed to cut her ear off to get that pebble out.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Like, had to cut off, like, the back of the ear and flap it forward to get the pebble out.
God, I was a lucky one.
Yeah, you were.
They just got mine out with a little tool. Unless they didn't get it all out, because something feels like it's in there.
It seems like God's pebble hole. But actually,
well, that's what I call my butthole.
Actually, you're not supposed to put anything in there. What are you going to do? Where are you going to live?
I don't know.
So what, you're moving your shit out, but you don't know where you're moving
it to? I put all my stuff in storage. Uh-huh. I'm in Airbnbs for now. I hope your projection is right about where this is all going.
If we stay the course.
If we stay the course. But, you know, I love it out here. I love the weather and certain aspects of it. I really despise. The homelessness is such a, it's such a massive issue.
It's awful.
And it's always in your face, and it's growing. And
I'm not clear on what the plan is,
or if there is one. The solution.
Yeah.
It seems like it's a part of a much larger system than just creating these mobile showers that they're delivering to them from the CARE Act that the city has implemented, like the Homeless CARE Act that they provide, where they show up with sandwiches and mobile showers and hair cutting units. It's much bigger than that. But I don't know. I think because both my parents are gone now, I feel this like pull everywhere. I know it doesn't make sense, but it's because my foundation is uprooted. My foundation is gone. So the parental foundation per se, I mean, obviously you create your own friendship circles and your own tools you've acquired through life to help yourself become an adult and to deal and to cope on your own. There's that sort of, you know, two ships passing in the night of your parents getting older and you becoming an adult, where those roles are delivered and separated. And so I feel a need to just sort of float around a bit and kind of not, you know, see where I land. You know, I just don't know. I don't feel that I'm going to be in one particular place. I think I might just cruise around the country for a while.
Are you going to be a van comic?
I've reached out to a company
to
build a van for me.
Right.
And
I don't know why all comics aren't van comics.
I think it's most a great them. Idea.
Yep.
So that is something that I've started to look into. My dispensary partner bought a big plot of land, and I've always wanted to have a horse, and I tell him every single day that I'm going to show up with and get a horse and maybe do that for a while. I kind
of. Are you in love with having a horse, or are you in love with the idea of having a horse? Because I feel like the reality would.
I would love to have one.
Okay.
I've ridden them a lot. I know they're okay. a lot of work, but I think the actual work of having one, I would love to be like Robert Redford in Horse Whisperer, where I'm just out there in my cute outfit, my cute hat, and my nice fitting jeans, and I'm just so cute, and I got a whip, and I'm yelling horsey things at it.
Okay.
You know?
I was picturing more hairbrushing. Gotcha.
A brushing.
Yeah.
And the scrub under the belly to get their back to stretch.
I love that. Yeah.
You'd
be a good horse mom.
I think I'd be a good horse mom. I just don't know. This whole year has made me reassess a lot. You know, I've worked for 20 years in this industry.
Yeah.
I'm not like, oh, I'm been in this industry and I'm aged out. No.
No. Do you remember that silly, what was it? Like maybe a September 11th era thing, Clint Eastwood, a thing. It's halftime, America. It's halftime. That's how this feels to me.
Yes.
It's halftime.
It's halftime.
It's like we finally all had, yes. And I haven't had a break. Now, there's two different kinds of issues that people have had for the last year or so, and I don't know which one is better. Some people have not had nearly enough to do, and they've been bored, and some people have had far too much to do, mm-hmm. and I put myself in that category.
Me too.
There's pluses and minuses to both, but whoever you are, just having been forced to take some sort of break, large or small, as you know, I had a certain kind of career going for 15 years that came to an end in a way it hasn't changed at all, and it's kind of cool, you know, like we always sort of admire like Australians and stuff because they'll have kids take like a gap year between high school yep. and college to just sort of sow their oats and figure out what they want to do. It would be nice if as a society we sanctioned and people were financially able to have like an adult gap year where you go, I was trying to make a plan, but I love what's the John Lennon thing? Life is what happens while you're making other plans.
Yeah.
You do just like wake up at some point and go, oh, this is it. This is where I am. This is what I'm doing.
That's exactly how I feel.
And then you feel like maybe you feel trapped, but maybe it's not even that severe. You just are like, is this really what I wanted?
Yeah.
Is this really the path that I want to stay on for forever? And we've all had a chance to, everything has changed. And then you go, well, now that I'm going to put it all back together, do I actually want all of the things
exactly.
that I've lost? Do I want to put those back in? And I think that that's actually a really, really cool thing that's come out of this. It may
yes.
not be a fun thing, but it's probably a really necessary thing.
Fuck yeah. Once in a lifetime opportunity.
What are you doing and what do you want to be doing?
Yeah. And yeah. are you assessing how your energy has been spent and divided? You know, this life is so fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fucking fast. That to live it any other way than to be authentic and doing something that really makes your blood pump is a waste.
Yeah.
Anything other than that. So, and I love what I've done. I love everything I've accomplished, but I feel I want to reconnect. I want to put my feet in the soil. I want to like, you know, get a little bit more reconnected to earth and a little bit more reconnected to myself. And I don't know where I'll fucking end up, but you know, for you, like, what out of this whole quarantine, how has everything evolved with Jason Ellis and everything that's shifted for you? Like, because you were at Sirius for a long fucking time.
Really long time.
And do you feel planted now? Because I love your guys' new studio. I think it looks great.
Well, it's funny because coronavirus actually made a lot of things that would have been abrupt changes a lot easier and a lot more gradual, you know.
Yeah.
If I'd been doing my show, the Tully Show, from the SiriusXM studios until one Friday, and then the following Monday, I'd just been like, hey guys, it's the same show, but now my guest is on Zoom. But don't worry, it's the same as it ever was. I'm just in my pajamas in my kid's bedroom. It'd be like depressing for them and for me, but like I've been doing Zoom shows since March.
Yeah.
So nothing changed. Ditto. I didn't have that Friday that I went to SiriusXM and then I got the call, you're never going back there. I'd been doing shows from Jason's basement for six
yeah.
months when we, you know, so it really smoothed the whole thing over. It definitely, it's what I think I really needed and even kind of wanted, and I was never going to make the leap because mm-hmm. it was, I don't want to say just because I was comfortable. I mean, like it was a very comfortable position. I would have been a fool to throw away what I had there, but there were definitely things about that situation that I did not love. and I wanted certain things about my professional life to change. And I've read one time, like, well, it's sort of like a be careful what you wish for mm-hmm. kind of thing. It's like, I got what I wanted.
Yeah, you did.
Just at the cost of comfort and security. But you know what? I am too safe of a person, and I place too much of a value on comfort and security. And I was never going to make that leap. And I'm glad now that they yeah. made it, that they forced me to.
You got pushed out of the nest.
Yeah.
And that's where the real growth happens.
Yeah,
when you get
for
shoved
sure.
out of the little comfort spot.
Yeah.
Nice little warm nest. And yeah. The, you
and
know.
I don't know. We've had such a soft landing. It's insane. Who loses their job? Dude, I used to.
You guys made the quickest recovery I've seen anybody in this industry that I know.
There was a. And we could have done it quicker if we'd really been like, wait a second, this is weird that they're not talking to us about a contract and our contract's up in 2 days. We probably, in retrospect.
Yeah, but it seemed to like in weeks you guys had.
Yeah, no, it all happened. It all happened pretty quick. But like for a while there, every night I was I'm still so busy. I'm so much busier now that I don't have a job than I was when I did. But especially in the beginning when I was just trying to figure out practical shit like health insurance
and
you know
yeah.
all the boring stuff. I used to sit down at like midnight every night and I would just go through my Instagram DMs that were requests that were like a week old, because I couldn't remember if it was after a week or 2 weeks that they time out and they go away. And I would never want somebody to think that they were like, hey dude, it sucks what happened to you, but I love you and I'll follow you anywhere. To think that, for anybody to ever think that I would get one of those and ignore it,
right,
is just insane. But it was so hard for me to keep up with all of the
wow.
people who were writing to me, that every night I would just sit down and from like 12 until I couldn't keep my eyes open, I would just go through the week old ones. And I'm copying and pasting. I would doctor it up a little bit for
don't
people.
Don't tell them that. He wrote every fucking word, okay?
I would.
Stacy from Illinois and John from Chicago. He loves you.
If anybody asked anything specific, I gave him a specific answer, but I had a lot of it was just the same shit over and over and over. So like emotionally and psychologically, to have thousands of strangers reaching out to you, like I have nothing to complain about.
That's awesome though.
Yeah. No.
Because they supported you guys, not SiriusXM necessarily. You know what I mean?
And you always say, and you always mean like, well, we would be nowhere without you guys, but it was always mediated by Sirius. Now it's like,
it's
these
direct.
Fucking people are like,
you can actually, there's, it's almost better. It's better.
Yeah. It's way better.
You're directly connected to them.
It's so much better. And like
you guys just doing Patreon?
No, we're doing a free pod and then we're doing Patreon shows and then I'm doing my free pod and I'm doing Patreon, and Patreon has been a fucking blast.
Yeah.
I'm doing a show. I told you I taped a show with Mark McGrath,
yep.
and his side just didn't record. So we don't have it. And I was like,
sucks.
I was all pissed about that.
It sucks.
I'm going to go home tomorrow and I'm going to record the show again, because we had all these things prepared to talk about in music. And I'm just going to be like, here's the conversation that me and Mark had. I'm not going to like sit here and fucking do a Mark McGrath impression, but I'll just tell you everything that we said. It's the stupidest nonsense in the world. And I would never subject like a general podcast audience to that. But like people on my Patreon actually want that.
Yeah.
It's so cool. It is so fun. And I just feel so insanely beholden, because we're not.
This motherfucker said beholden.
I do feel beholden, because we were not at that level where, you know, if fucking Jon Stewart gets fired from Comedy Central, he can just go on vacation for as long as he wants. And then when he comes back, he can decide where he's going to continue
yeah.
being Jon Stewart. When I got fired, to me, it was like a real possibility. Maybe this, I will just look back on this era of my life as that was the 15 years that I talked into a microphone and got paid for it. And now I'm a fill in the blank. I couldn't stay in that industry anymore, because it's not like there's like other radio jobs waiting for us.
No, it's not a plentiful.
Yeah. If the podcast
industry.
Thing doesn't work out, like, I'm not doing this anymore. So the fact that I get to continue to do this is because of like a relatively small number of human beings who directly want it enough that they directly fucking support us to do it.
Yeah, you guys have diehard fans.
It's fucking ludicrous. It's so ludicrous. I never, ever, ever took those people for granted, but it is so much more direct. And
it's,
I feel
it's awesome.
So much more connected. And I feel so much more beholden.
And yeah. I love that you're beholden.
I am. And they're cool people. Like, I love the fact that I feel like I think there is a lot to be said for like what you put out into the world, you get back.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I was just this broadcaster that was like constantly flame throwing and talking shit about everything is fucked up and sucked and the man's trying to fuck you over, I'd be talking to angry people all day.
Yeah, but no, it's you like, guys don't.
We just put out this groovy thing, so we get all these really groovy people coming back at us.
I kicked a wooden panel that was set on fire.
You did, peacefully.
I screamed through my vulva urethra.
You did. You broke it good.
It felt good to do that, though. It felt like very liberating.
Oh yeah, it's cathartic. Everybody should wake up and kick something on fire.
Until I realized that wasn't that hard to kick.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, kicking through drywall or something.
I don't think that's.
Is that not hard either?
Depends. Depends on the wall.
I mean, the walls I put up, you could kick right through.
Exactly. Are we good? Do we do it? Is this the thing?
Yeah, are we done?
I think so. Do you have any burning questions?
How high do those socks go?
These socks?
Not high enough.
How high did you need them to go?
I was hoping they were up to your knees. I picture you a man in his elder years to have socks up to his knees.
I was wearing these long underwear at yoga this morning.
That's unfortunate. Really?
Yeah.
You went to yoga this morning?
I did.
What time?
8:30.
Are you flexible?
No, that's why I go to yoga.
How long have you been going? You're still not flexible.
Like a month. I'm not a flexible person to begin with, and my advancing age and having been stuck at home for like a year with gyms closed, I'm like Frankenstein.
Wow.
At this point, I need it bad.
I am too. I've started to learn how to do splits, and I've been doing that.
Can you do splits?
I've gotten a lot better.
My lady this morning, she was a substitute person, and she didn't believe me. Like, she was like, Mike, you got more. You can do more. And I'm like, lady, I don't got more.
Can you touch your toes?
Oh, my God, no.
What?
Not even remotely.
Oh, you need
close.
Yoga. You better keep going. Yeah. Flexibility is a key to youth.
I know it is.
Trust in God from my lips to God's ears.
I don't see what God has to do with this, but
everything.
Yeah.
Right. Are you saying you're not a non-believer?
I believe in yoga.
Did you see the back of my jacket?
Jesus is psychedelic. I like it. Is that a famous Jesus? Should I know that guy?
I mean, it's the Jesus that white people want to say is a Jesus.
Right. The Jesus of Wisconsin.
This is actually from my friend's company, Meet Delic, which is a psychedelic company that teaches and trains.
Nice.
Well, not trains, but educates and advocates for psilocybin and mushrooms.
That's nice.
And psychedelics. Have you ever done... You've done psychedelics.
Yeah, I had my fun with mushrooms. I think you're done now? I think it's in the past. I don't know. Carl Hart's book, there was a couple things in there he was mentioning. And I'm like, oh, that sounds nice.
I put some in my tea this morning.
Oh, you're microdosing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cute.
Well, it's cute. There's actual science to it. There's actual...
That's debatable.
Science. Is it debatable?
I think so. I microdosed for a minute. That's great.
Do you know they literally use microdosing to help people with addiction.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
That's great.
Like you with your alcohol.
I don't want to microdose and I do not want to quit alcohol.
Really?
I'll be back. No, I just need to.
I'm so glad I haven't lost you to the bright side.
Oh my God, no. No. See, that's like another kind of virtuous effect of me losing my job. Every year I would tell myself, like, why don't you really dig deep for like an extended period of time and really see what your best self really looks like. Just find out what your best self really, really looks like. Not forever. There'll be plenty of time to fuck off. And there's just always a reason after a week or two or three or five or whatever to, well, I deserve a reward for this, or I'm really stressed out because of that. And now it's like fucking the demands of my life and the things I'm trying to do professionally now. Like I'm almost 3 months in, and like my resolve is I don't feel like I'm anywhere near done.
Like, you want to keep going.
I want to keep going. Not forever. Hell no, 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 no. I want to be really drunk when I'm in my 50s. But
you got to be a total day drunker in your 50s.
When the kids move out, I'll be a day drinker. Yeah, that's a whole...
And your slippers, white socks, the newspaper, and a sauce-stained shirt. And take a nap.
Yeah.
In a house robe.
Yeah. With all due respect to dog owners.
A blue floor house robe.
Yeah.
What about dog owners?
With all due respect to dog owners, it's easier to day drink when you're a dog dad than when you're a person dad.
And people, like, you know, if you have a dog and you're a day drinker, you're cool.
Yeah.
And if you have a kid and you're a day drinker, you're like a demon, and it's just not fair. Why is there a double standard? Why are there people judging people who have a drink when they have kids?
It's a class thing. If you have a nanny and you day drink,
Oh man, then you're drinking a martini. But if you don't, and it's just like, you, if you're, brunch, you're hitting wine.
If you're brunch drinking with a nanny, then you're cool. If you're picnic drinking.
So many of my girlfriends who have kids always joke about needing a drink or wanting to drink. And yeah. My sister, I love how we said we're done and we're it's 20 minutes later. I got my sister connected with marijuana and showing her how to use marijuana more as a medicine as opposed to just getting stoned.
Yeah.
Like if you just like microdose.
Yep.
It doesn't, you can still parent and not worry about the existential effects that sometimes you have when you get high.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true.
And she is like totally on board now.
Yeah, that makes sense. Weed doesn't agree with me, but like weed parenting is a totally different story.
Weed parenting?
I support weed parenting.
I mean, that's a whole, we should have a whole episode on weed parenting. How okay. do we have my, to podcast again.
Yeah, my palms are getting clammy just thinking about it. Yeah, let's talk about that.
All right.
All right. But for now, let's be done.
All right, we gotta go. He's gotta go.
I gotta go.
I missed you.
I missed you too. It was nice talking to you.
It really was. This is yeah. the first in person. Hopefully neither of us get COVID.
That's the spirit.
I can't taste my beer, but it's gone.